On the Third Night, They Are Coming, by Mark Everett, narrated by Tom Freya. Chapter 1. The house had stood empty for years, a pretty enough Cotswold stone double-fronted cottage set in a spacious garden and overlooking the sea to the rear. To see a photograph of the property would have made the most practical house hunter feel tempted by its charms. But when that same person stood outside on the lane that passed the front gate, something would invariably send a shiver up their spine, and they would think again. There was something wrong with the house, something hard to pin down but impossible to ignore. On occasions, a tenant would commit themselves before seeing the house, usually due to finding themselves in an unexpected bind and with nowhere else to go. And then the fun would really begin. No one stayed long. With the record over the last 30 years standing at 8 days, and this was more than a decade ago. Since then, the house had lurked on Hobbs Lane all alone, and whatever might have dwelt there had largely not been disturbed by a living soul. The letting agent had used to send a reluctant cleaner once a month, a local woman who needed the money, but she was always sure to get her work completed and to be well on her way back up the lane long before it started to get dark. The house gave anyone who entered it feelings of discomfort and, if they were honest, dread in the daylight. But anyone unwise enough to be there after dark? Well, it was a brave person who dared that, and a foolish one who tried it more than once. Even with the number of homeless people on the rise in the small seaside town, and any vacant property usually being beset by the imminent threat of squatters, still no one was desperate enough to make this house their home, not even on the coldest and wettest of winter nights. No birds nested in the branches of the solitary tree that barely clung to life in the front garden, and even the wild animals that frequented the hedgerows lining the sides of the lane gave the house a wide berth. They instinctively knew when somewhere felt like it just wasn't right, and they stayed away. No one local would have considered moving them and their family into the house, but Lucy Shaler was not local and didn't know any better, at least not yet. As the removal van pulled up to the front gate and her husband Ross parked their family people carrier a few feet behind it, her first thought was how pretty the house looked. It wasn't until she got out of the car and placed her hand on top of the wooden gate that she got her first sense that perhaps the rent was cheap for a good reason. She froze at the threshold to the garden, her hand still on the painted wooden bar that topped the gate, and she tried to put her finger on what the problem was. Her skin was crawling, as if wanting to detach itself from the rest of her and make its own way back to the warm front passenger seat of the car. "Lucy," came Ross's voice as he walked up behind her. "You going in?" She turned and snapped alert again, as if returning from a dream she had not been aware she had been having, and she could see on his angular, eminently sensible face that he felt nothing. Now that she thought about it, and now that she could see his frown starting to deepen slightly, she couldn't really say she felt anything strange herself either, and she found herself wondering why she wasn't just going in to start looking round their new home. She shook her head ever so slightly and smiled at her husband, to stop him frowning at her like that more than anything, and then she opened the gate, and they all started to make their way into the tidy front garden. The family dog, a rowdy terrier that was a mismatch of a border terrier and God only knows what else, had bounded out of the back of the car where he had been sitting with the children. Harvey the dog immediately relieved himself up the front nearside tire of the removals van and then trotted back to walk alongside Lucy. Lucy felt a small hand grip onto hers, and she glanced
Sample complete. Ready to continue?